I'm very excited to be here. I thought that, you know, we were actually doing it online, but I'm so thankful that David wanted to come here, planned to come here for the NSEC parade. So, and we felt that we have online for so long, you know, it should be coming in present, you know, physically to worship God together with you. So I'm actually very, very excited. You know, I think this is the more that I do this, the more I just, you know, I feel we should be come together, you know, physically. That's the way to worship God. Yeah. Okay, just give you a little bit update for us before we go into the book of Daniel. Doing it, I don't know, like probably you guys not knowing, you know, don't know that we actually moved away from Auckland. I don't know if how many of you know. There are different reasons that we decide to move, but God did open the door for David, you know, my husband. You can inquire him later. There was a new position end of December, the chaplaincy in the prisons up north. So we prayed about that, we talked about that, and I support him to apply that position during lockdown. So God just right away opened the door and he was accepted. So that's the reason we moved. But I think if we have opportunity to come in the future, we'll tell you the whole package of God's plan. You know, very often you see one picture and another picture or puzzle, and then you started to put them together. You just see how amazing God is. So I'm still working in Auckland, you know. I'm kind of travel back and forth, but I enjoy the trip. You know, it's a little bit long, but I enjoy the trip because you see all the natures rather than all the buildings and houses around when you travel. So yeah, very excited about what is happening. The reason I chose to talk about Daniel instead of Jonah, like I like to continue the book of Jonah in the future. I really think the book of Daniel is a very important book for us to study. Particular in the time that we are right now. So that's the reason, you know, after prayer and making decision, I decide to come with the book of Daniel. So today we will just focus on Daniel chapter 1, 1 to 8, and the topic is be faithful. So I really like to, you know, to look at the beginning of the book of Daniel and see how we could learn from his life. At least in the early time. Okay, let's bow our head and pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us and giving us this privilege that we can come together and worship you, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, for us able to come together, I pray that you allow the hearts to be grateful and thankful for the opportunities, Lord, because worship you is actually one very important things in our life, and particularly in the time that we have today, Lord, to insist worshiping you is the most important for our spiritual growth and also the strength for us to stand firm and stand firm on the truth and stand firm for our identity as Christian, Lord, and our faith. So we just pray that, Lord, directly speak to us today through your word and through your servant Daniel, his history and his example to us, Lord. I just pray that, Lord, without your word, we will be very weak. But with your word and the encouragement and the challenges from your book, I pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us to help us to stand strong and tall in a time like this. So we commit all the service into your hand. And I pray that, Lord, nothing will stop us to listen to you. And I pray that, Lord, if anything in our hearts stopping us to focus on you, I pray that, Lord, you cast all this away and fill the sanctuary with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I forgot my clicker. Okay, so just wanted to give you a little bit background of Daniel. Did I go in too fast? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, if you read chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, you know that this is actually the beginning of the exile. It's after the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. So it's the last kingdom of the whole nation of Israel. So the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he captured, you know, the items in the temple and took, you know, a group of people, you know, to Babylon with him. So in order to look at this book, I wanted to give you a little bit of background. So the whole book of Daniel covers about 70 years of history. So if you really need to know the history and the prophecy there, you actually need to look at the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, because they are all in the same time. So it's the overlapping with the time of Ezekiel, but Daniel is actually earlier than Ezekiel. So just give you a little bit of background there. So Daniel was captured and exiled with his friend, three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and it's really hard for me to say that. But it's during that time depart to Babylon, all right? So and another history, just to let you know a little bit, Daniel wrote this book actually is towards the end of his life. He covered four kings, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, and then Belshazzar, Darius, and the last one is a very famous one, Cyrus. So the first six chapter is actually about Daniel's life events. So some very famous life events like the lion den or the furnace is all in the first six chapter. And then the 7 to 12 chapters are all about prophecy. So when you listen to end time prophecy, usually, preachers and whoever talk about end time will link to Daniel, because lots of things in the last five chapters from 7 to 12, which is six chapters, a lot of description is actually very, very similar to the book of Revelation. So I really encourage, you know, if you do have time, look at it. You know, actually it's very, very interesting. Don't expect yourself to understand everything. No one can, I have to say. But it's helping us to understand, you know, when the time of Daniel, which is very long time before the end time things happen, but the description is actually very, very similar. And this book, Daniel mentioned himself for 9 times. So it's very obvious he is the writer. You know, it's not someone else. Interesting, when he was exiled to Babylon, I have to say, this is, lots of scholars believe that he was only around 15 years old. How many of you are 15 years old here? Older than 15? Majority. How many of you younger than 15 or close to 15? Maybe the last row, you know, those days sitting together. So I have to say this sermon is actually very important for you. You know, look at Daniel when he was 15 And think about yourself. What would happen to you? And what you would do if you were Daniel in your 15 years old? Okay? He was actually meek, you know, by the scripture that you have written, you have read. He was meek, a eunuch. You know, it's actually quite normal for that, because if you look at our Chinese those soap opera related to the old day, or if you have a little bit history understanding, it's quite universal for people serve in the palace and closer to king, they would not allow you to be able to defy their line, the bloodline, you know. So people serve in the palace universally in the old day. I'm not sure about today. They will meet as a eunuch. And he was, if we go back to the scripture, we're going to look at it now, he was actually from royal and noble background. So, if you look at verse 3 5 here, then the king ordered Aspena, which is the chief eunuch, chief of his court officer of officials, to bring into the king's servant some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. So this is actually the description of Daniel, young man without any physical defect. So he's actually strong, you know, healthy, good looking, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning. So he's eager to learn. He's not laid back, you know. He's eager to learn. Well informed. 15 years old. Well informed. Quick to understand and qualified to serve the king's palace. So they are screened. You know, Daniel and his three friends are being screened to come to where they are in the book of Daniel, you know, described in the book of Daniel. He was to teach them the language and the literature of Babylonian. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. I'll talk about that later. It sounds like not much interesting, but it's actually quite important for us to understand. So a little bit description about the exile strategy of Babylon. So before Babylon, it's actually the kingdom, the emperor of Assyrian. What is different of Assyrians and Babylon is Assyrian is actually very brutal. You know, when they capture someone, they skin them alive. Can you imagine that? You know, but Babylon is a little bit different. You know, Babylon is actually they capture you, but their strategy was to make you like to stay in Babylon. They will show you the prosperity, the security, the beauty of Babylon, so that you don't want to go. You know, you want to stay. You know, you need to remember, Daniel was from an exiled country, exiled nation. You know, the end of the kingdom of Judah, in fact, is not a good time. You know, he was only 15 years old. You know, when he was exiled, yes, he had to leave the country, leave his own nation. But coming to a prosperity, you know, fruitful and beautiful country, that's something to look at. So this is the strategy of Babylon that time. You know, they capture them, but they show how great this kingdom or emperor of Babylon. You don't need to go. This is your home. So this is their strategy. But on the other hand, so this is kind of the picture that I wanted to give to you. So only 8 verses give you some background of Daniel. But what a 15-year-old boy, a teenager with the three friends mentioned in this book, what challenges they are going to face? And this is actually quite referred to us. I really like you guys to think about that. So what challenge Daniel faced? If we look at the verse 5 to the end of verse 8. So it says the kingdom assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those are those names, okay? The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name of Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, that he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So what is the challenge Daniel faced? First, isolation. Like all of you, I mean not all of us, we're kind of similar situation. Our parents or yourself being sent here came here for looking a better life. You might came here alone for your study. But if you can imagine, when you exile to another country, or some of you might have opportunity to go to Australia or other country for study, you know. We just have in CCMA, we just have a young gentleman have gone to Australia in February for his new life, university life. Whenever you left somewhere to start a life in a new country or new place, there more or less some isolation. You know, isolation is not a word is not unfamiliar with us, because we have been isolated. And some of you might still be isolated at home if you got COVID. But when you look at Daniel, he was uprooted and taken away from his home, his family, and his language. And he was thrown into a pagan, foreign idol worship. Like, you need to know that he's actually from a royal family of the tribe of Judah. He's the king tribe. So he more or less has a stronger values and culture of the God he knows. And he demonstrated that. But he was being totally uprooted to another country and needs to learn another language. He was forced to abandon the way that they used to live, you know. They were giving new names, they were giving new clothes, they were eating new food. Like when you, I don't know how many of you still so into Chinese food, you know. When I moved to Kirikiri, you know, I used it to Western and fusion, so-called, you know, since I moved to Canada and married my husband. But I still have that crave, you know, to have wonton noodle soup. Sometimes the wonton noodle soup, I have to say, actually tastes awful, you know, but you still wanted to get one, you know, because it's not just about the wonton noodle, it's about your upbringing, it's about your life in the past, it's about the memory associated with the wonton noodle, you know. So same thing, you know, he was being uprooted, he was forced to abandon everything, and he was lured to believe the superficial prosperity and beauty. You know, a lot of idol worship, a lot of, like, you know, reading stars and all this thing, in fact, is rooted from Babylon, if you chase the history. He was educated to forget his God. Remember, he needs to be educated. So being isolated in a total foreign country, and you are bombarding with everything new, that is actually a challenge. What is another challenge? I have to say, is indoctrination. Because the education that they have to take is 3 years. Remember what the scripture said? It's actually like 3 years university education. Can I say that? They will have all the scholar, all the best, you know, knowledge people to teach them. Because this group of people, they were already informed, right? They already informed their hunger to learn. This is their nature. When they're being exiled, they are chosen to be in this particular program, 3 years top level university education. He was teach them the language, the literature, that means their culture, their belief, their values. The king assigned them a daily amount of food, even what you eat. You have no choice. Well, kind of, you know, we know that Daniel make his choice, but they provide you food. I always put this to challenge the congregation. If you were 15 years old, think about yourself. And if you were a boy, you know, all the ladies here, if you think that, what happened if I were 15 years old, if I'm male, and if the king put me in front of a buffet, what would you do? To be very honest, I have to tell you, I like to eat. That's the reason why I have my size. I honestly tell you, I don't even have to go through a thinking process. I would just run into the buffet. This is the way that Babylonian to lure the young boys. See all the good things that we have. You don't need to worship just one God. We have tons of God. They will bless you. You know, we have prosperity. We have all the food that you wanted to eat. We have a strong culture and values. You don't have to worry about your future. How great is that? How great is that? Why I use the word indoctrination is because when indoctrination is actually different from, personally I believe, different from education and learning. Learning and education is actually quite two-way. You know, it's allow you as an audience, as a learner, to think and respond and ask questions. Indoctrination is basically giving you a set of information and you are required to believe in it. Indoctrination is not encourage you to think, but encourage you to believe what they tell you. And they will encourage you not to think about other information, because indoctrination is the way to tell you they are the only source of truth. That's indoctrination. We grew up kind of in an indoctrination education. Can I say that? I grew up in Hong Kong. You know, a teacher just give you all the information that you need to remember, so that you can pass the exam. I was not challenged to think, to challenge the teachers or to ask questions until I went to Canada for study. Then I started to have some critical thinking training. But I find our generation today, it's not only Asia. I think we are in a contemporary situation that our education actually not challenging us to think. I leave it to you because I'm not in school anymore. You know. And I really like to highlight this because I really want you to know in the end time, in a challenging time like this, only you in the presence of God can get the right discernment to differentiate what is right and what is wrong. You are the only one in the God's presence by God's wisdom to differentiate the information that you have today, what is actually makes sense and what doesn't make sense by God's values. Another challenge that Daniel has is actually identity changed. Verse 6 says, among those who were chosen were some from Judah. Again, emphasize their background from the royal background. So those are they have the name Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But then they will change name. So what I'm going to show you is, this is the original meaning of the name. God is my judge. The original name. The Lord is gracious. Who is like God? The Lord helps. This is the meaning of their name. You know, we all have a name. I believe when your parents give you a name, that's a rich meaning behind. That's the values and meaning or intention why they give you this name. When Daniel was born, or his three friends born in the kingdom of Judah, they honor God, the God of Israel. All these names are giving worship and honor and praises to God. However, their identity being changed. The new name means, may Baal protect my life. Baal is actually the pagan god, eliminated by the sun god Ra. Again, another god, who is like Aku, another pagan god, a servant of Nebo. Nebo is actually part of the name of Nebuchadnezzar, the king during that time. Your identity changed. Your name changed. Can you imagine, like, we all have an English name, you know, when we came to this country, or when you born into this country, your parents probably give you a new name. I mean, an English name. But I believe even though, doesn't matter, you choose your name, like I chose my name, English name, or your parents give you an English name, again, that's the intention behind. When Daniel's and his friend's name being changed, the king of Nebuchadnezzar, he did have an intention there. Going back to what we said, you will have your home here. You will be like us. You will be one of us. You will serve in this kingdom. Can you imagine if you were being captured or you're forced to go somewhere? Lots of Hong Kong people today, they chose to go somewhere else. They need to live a new life. But what happened if you're forced to change your name? A name that you actually don't agree. You don't take the values, you're against the values. What would you do? What would you do? But the Bible said Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. This is not just about food. This is a 15-year-old boy determined to keep his identity. He's determined to keep his values, to keep his relationship with God, and to determine to honor and praise God, even though he's isolated in a foreign country. As I said, just look at the food. We all know, if you look at the rest of chapter 1, Daniel actually asked to have vegetables for him rather than a humongous buffet. I told you, to be very honest, if I were Daniel, I don't even need to think. I would just run to the buffet. I don't know about you. And I have to say, if you look at the rest of the book, or well, chapter 1, people probably hate Daniel. Because after the test of 10 days, they look fantastic. And then the chief official kind of thinking, okay, because he needs to make sure to keep his own life too. So he make everybody just eat vegetables, you know, to make sure that they all look great. I don't know how other boys look at Daniel, you know, you make us be a vegetarian for the rest of our life, you know. I don't know how you think, but in Daniel's mind, he doesn't care about that. Because the food putting on the king's table, in fact, is the food have worshipped idols. And that's the reason why he said, I'm not going to defy myself with the royal food. He chose to eat vegetables for the rest of his life. Not only that 10 days, you need to remember. So what we can learn from Daniel? The first question I want to ask you, are we in exile and living in Babylon? I'm not only talking about physical exile. I'm more talking about heart exile. Where is your heart? Are you in exile and living in Babylon? Are you being lured to or attracted by all this prosperity, all this easy lifestyle, all this world message, all this world education? I'm not saying that they're not good. I'm not saying there's no value. But where is your heart? Is your heart in the world, or is your heart with God? Romans chapter 1:1-2 said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a life, living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your truth and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Are you being transformed to the world, by the world, or are you able to transform yourself in this world, but stand for God? I don't know if you understand what I said. Do not conform. So are you being conformed by the world, or are you being transformed by God? Another question I wanted to ask is, are you being indoctrinated? Do you have the capability to challenge yourself or to challenge the information that you have today? We are in an information overwhelm information era. You know, there's lots of things on internet. I have to say, these days, I don't even bother to go on it because it's just too overwhelming. But on the other hand, how are we going to find out the truth? What is truth? Is it all the information provided over the crowd are the truth information? Are you being indoctrinated? The only thing I believe that we can come being strong and continue to have the discernment from God, beside your personal relationship with God, is come to the church and worship together. Don't ever give up meeting together, as some of us, some are in the habits of doing, but encourage one another, because all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the Bible encourages us when the day approaching, which is the end time approaching, the more important for us to come together and worship and be a family of God. Then we can encourage and remind and discuss and support each other. The third question I will challenge us. Are we living a life according to our identity in Christ? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Beside our names on earth, we do have a name. Our name is children of God. Are we living our life according to the name from God to us? Do you? Are you? Are you living by the name of the world to give you? Or are you living by the name that God has given to you? What is your identity? I'd like to finish this with an illustration from the Anzac Day. Daniel is a classic example of a young man being able to be faithful to the very little thing, food. And in the 70 years, he served four kings. He demonstrated his holiness. He demonstrated his commitment to the God that he learned when he was young. And said they also present a message of those soldiers. They commit. They commit their life. They commit their not even their life, it's their commitment to the country. They sacrifice because they determine to be faithful to what they commit to do. A few days ago, like my husband was the ex-army. So a few days ago, we watched a movie, 1917. Do you know what is related to 1917? How many of you know? If you don't know, you need to find your own information. It's the First World War. That movie, what is so impressed to me, I don't actually like war movie very much, you know, it's so brutal and bloody to me, but what impressed to me in that movie is they didn't have the technology that we have today. So two soldiers need to deliver a letter, a message to stop, you know, some attack. One die early on, another one keep running, keep going on his own until he finished his mission. Again, I was asking myself, can I do that, Lord? If you want, they ask me, you know, we have no internet, no device, and I have to run from one place to another, and all enemies surrounding me. Would I even take that mission? I reckon many of us would say no. Guess what? Those soldiers, they did it. Jesus did it for us. Jesus came to fulfill a mission that no one can fulfill on earth, to die for you and me, and to give you salvation. As the song that we sang today, he saved us. My final challenge to you is, Daniel, he lived in Babylon, but Babylon did not live in him. Do you understand what I said? He lived in Babylon for his whole life. But Babylon did not capture his heart. 70 years, served four kings, come across many challenges. Babylon's prosperity, fruitfulness, wealth, power did not capture him. He did not conform with the world, but he continuously being transformed. Are you able to, are you willing to live a life like that? Are you able to live a life like that? We are living in a world. They're trying to capture us. Are you able to say, Lord, yes, I live in this world, but I determine not to allow this world to capture me. Like Daniel, he lived in Babylon, but Babylon did not live in his heart. Let's pray. Father, I commit this time into your hand, Lord. It's not a story. It's a real example. It's a real human being being exiled to a country, to an emperor, to something can provide him everything. But he determined to be faithful until the last minute. He determined not to bow down to anything but you. He determined to be faithful. He lived in Babylon, but Babylon never lived in his heart. Father, we are in the age that we are also facing the same challenge. I reckon many people like me, there's often temptations and decisions that we allow the world to capture our hearts. Father, I sincerely pray for us, Lord. Pray for every heart here, Lord, that they have desire to follow you. They have desire to love you. And they have desire to make you Lord and Savior for their life. Lord, I pray that the message, the life of Daniel, will give us strength, will tell us it is possible. It is doable that we don't follow the world, but you. It is possible and doable that we allow our hearts only worship you. Our mission is possible, Lord. And I pray that you strengthen us. You capture our hearts. You occupy our hearts, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you will encourage us to think, what is our commitment to you? What is faithfulness to you, to us means to you? What should be our identity and our life look like on earth until you come again? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.